This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey Dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I'm talking with Danielle Watson, who is making her dreams come true by doing exactly what she wants to do and totally getting away with it. Glad to have you on the show, Danielle.
Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, as most people probably don't know, you were actually supposed to be giving a TED Talk maybe soon or maybe in the near future.
Yes, this is true. I was scheduled to give it recently, and due to circumstances beyond the organizer's control, they had to postpone it. And I tell you, as upsetting and disappointing as that was for me, I cannot imagine what it must be like to be somebody who's put that much work into organizing event and having to start over at square one and reorganize it all. Whew, I am so glad I am not one of them.
Well, yeah, you just had to not, get on a plane and go give a speech.
Exactly. I just had to chill out and have a margarita instead.
Well, Danielle, I would love for you to give some background about what it is exactly that you do.
All righty. Well, I have a long history of wanting to do things that are, let's just say, a little out of the ordinary. And what I found is that I actually have a track record of figuring out how to make that happen. And so I've turned it into a business where I help women figure out what it is that they want to do, where they're going to find the confidence to do it, and then I teach them how to get away with it. And the latest iteration of me doing what I want to do and getting away with it is something I call the purse process. My background is actually in anthropology and archaeology. But Joe or anyone else, if you've ever seen a photo of me, I'm a total girly girl and I don't like digging around in the dirt. And I knew that when I was going for this degree. But I just knew that being who I was going to figure out a way to make this work for me. So flash forward a little more than a decade out of college, I finally figured out how to make this particular interest of mine work for me. And what I did is I took three basic principles of archaeology and I applied them in a new way. Instead of applying them to a collection of items that you might dig up out in the desert from a culture that no longer exists, I applied those same principles to the contents of a woman's handbag. And it allows me to excavate information that's very similar to what we might find about an ancient society, except for this allows me to pull out information that's actually particular to the person who those items belong to.
So you put your Indiana Jones hat on and go dive into the purse?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So what kind of things could you tell by what they have in their purse?
You know, it's actually surprising how much you can tell about a person by looking through their purse. You can tell what they're great at, what their personal strengths are, what their fears are. You can find out about what it is that's holding them back from actually pursuing their dreams. And you can tell all this by looking at wadded up tissues and lip glosses and little bags of goldfish crackers that get left in the bottom.
Is it a testament about how messy it is and how unorganized it is, or just the basically trash that gets left in there?
Well, sometimes it's the trash, sometimes it's the disorganization or the organization. But I imagine that your listeners are actually a little bit smarter than the average bear. So I'm just going to share with you the three principles I use when I'm looking through this collection so that they can apply it themselves and, evaluate their own stuff. And it doesn't have to be your purse. If you're a man, look through your car, look through your wallet, look through your office. Wherever you have a collection of things that you use on a regular basis, you can use these principles.
Or don't use.
Exactly. Or don't use. Absolutely. It's amazing how much stuff people hang on to and even carry around on their shoulder every day that they don't even use. So the first principle is that any item that you have conveys information and has meaning. And the second principle is that items alone and within a collection of other items convey meaning on their own and in relationship to one another. And the third principle is that if you have an item or a collection of items and you can look at it in its original context, it conveys the most meaning of all. And you can apply this in an unlimited number of contexts, but I just happen to like playing with purses.
You know, as you're reading this, I can't help but imagine the archaeologist coming out of you to explain it, because it sounds like to me like if you were digging instead of in a purse in the desert, looking at these items and trying to figure out how they went together. I guess if you looked at them in the three principles that you did, like, okay, well, this item usually was found next to this item whenever we found it. You could start to correlate those together into figuring out what the meanings are.
Right. And this is why, you know, when kids find something like an arrowhead or an old Civil War shell casing, things like that, they always want you to, the archaeologists and scientists want you to leave it where it is, because they want to be able to look at the context of it. They want to be able to see what other items can be found in that same area so that they can extrapolate the most meaning from that fun artifact.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess that makes sense if the kids are actually going to listen.
Right. That's another story.
So, all right. So let's get into what were the first steps that you took to like start making this transition from, well, what were you doing before purses then?
You know, purses were sort of my, we'll call it my hook. But I'd been doing this my whole life with ideas and collections of thoughts and helping people recognize the relationship between the different things. And I didn't even realize that this was a special skill until I couched it in terms of purses and talking about it as an archaeological process. So I would encourage anyone who dreams about doing whatever it is they want to do and getting away with it to just start noticing what are the things that you're naturally doing anyways that people are always telling you, wow, that's amazing. How do you do that? And you're thinking to yourself, I don't know. I just do it. Can't everyone do that? And the truth is that no, they can't.
Yeah, I guess if people don't have the perspective to see, you know, and ask the questions why, or to give yourself the permission why, a lot of times we do things just because it's the way it was always done. Why would we question that, right? There you go. The question why is right there, but yet they wouldn't give themselves the permission to say, okay, well, here's how we've always had this marker or something, because that one time that we needed it or thought we needed it, didn't need it, and it just stayed there.
Right.
What steps did you take to get started to turn this into a career?
Well, the first thing I did was I started asking as many women as I could find if they would let me paw through their handbag. So I started doing research and collecting data, and I just really had fun with it. I didn't know if it was ever going to be something that I could make a living at, but I just knew that I was fascinated with it. And when you're really fascinated with something, it's amazing how much energy and time you can make for doing it. So I just started looking at what was out there. I started compiling some data, and then I started interpreting that data. And what I found was that people really enjoyed my insights, but I started getting a reputation as a purse psychic, because all people saw was that I was looking through their stuff and that I knew stuff about them. And that wasn't it at all. I mean, I have nothing against intuitives. I have nothing against psychic powers, but that was not where I was getting my information. And so the aha that I had was that in order for the process I created and the insights I had to share to matter, other people had to be able to see what I see when I look through a handbag. And in that moment, I realized that I needed to create something that was super fun and simple and easy to use. At first, I didn't know what it was, but then it hit me. You know how we're always all on Facebook taking those fun little tests that tell us, you know, which of the seven dwarfs we're most like or what word most describes us? Well, I realized that people really like to put themselves into buckets or categories, and some of us really like to break out of those categories. But generally speaking, we like to be able to identify ourselves within a category. And so what I did was I created four purse process personality archetypes, and I gave them silly names like Dumpster Debbie and Vanishing Veronica. And I was able to outline the personal strengths and the challenges that relate to a certain collection that you might be carrying in your purse or your closet or any other area of your life.
So, all right. So, and did you get anybody that pushed back and said, no, you're not welcome to just go through my purse?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Most people actually say something to me like, wow, I really wish I'd left my purse in the car, or, oh my goodness, I don't want you to see what's in my bag, or even my very favorite of, well, I don't carry a purse, so what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I could see a lot of people trying to say that and try to make like a joke out of it.
Yeah, I've actually had people say that what I do sounds very threatening and scary. But the truth is that if you're ever going to live your dreams and do the things you want to do, you have to have self-awareness. You have to understand yourself. You have to know yourself at a deep level. And anyone who's ever going to achieve anything is going to dive right into any opportunity they can get to know themselves better. And that is what my purse process does.
So, Danielle, how did your family take it when you made that transition into people's purses?
Well, my family has known me since the beginning, so they know I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and they just sit back and watch and wait for me to make it happen.
You know, what's been the biggest roadblock you've hit with this?
Oh my goodness. Well, in the beginning, one of the biggest roadblocks was deciding when this could stop being just a research project and a hobby and become something that I could charge people for and that I could start to make a living off of. That was a major mental hurdle because there was no one out there certifying me to do this. There was no one out there authorizing me to do this. I was giving myself permission to say that I had done enough research and that I had something to share and that it was valuable enough that there needed to be an exchange of energy in the form of money. And that was not easy.
Now, yeah, I mean, because you don't have like an entrepreneurial background, do you?
Yes and no. I did have another business before this, but it was completely different. I was actually a mobile yoga teacher. I had a mobile yoga studio that I created.
Oh, wow. Well, that's pretty cool. But I mean, in that case, you're teaching people something. You're not, and it's a little more tangible because they know what yoga is.
Exactly.
And they know you. So yes. It's like, okay, I could see paying for that.
Right.
Not like, here, let me hand over my handbag and then write a check for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Yoga has a long history. People can say yes or no to it. They know what they're going to get. And when you create something out of your own zone of genius, it's a completely different animal. And you have to find the confidence and the belief in yourself to just go for it. And, you know, there's always the risk that you're going to fail. But for me, at least, I would much rather take the plunge and find out that when I jumped over that cliff, I totally went splat like Wile E. Coyote and start over again than always wonder what might have been.
Well, that's a good way to handle it. Now, Danielle, growing up, what was your childhood dream?
Oh, my goodness. Well, my very first childhood dream we have evidence of was that I wanted to make pizzas. That was very important to me as a child. And then like many girls of the 80s and 90s, I wanted to be a marine biologist. But then as I got older, I realized that I wanted to help people and that other kids would naturally come to me looking for somebody to listen to them and to really hear what was bothering them. And to actually, at that time, be the go-between between what they were dealing with and their parents. It was very interesting. And so it developed this dream of mine to help people, to make a difference in the world. But I've always had this little streak in me that says, I need to do it my way. And so I knew I would have to create something that satisfied that need. And I love being able to report that I really, really have done that. And that I know that I'll do it again and again and again.
Well, I mean, even with the, you know, being a marine biologist and even making pizzas, pizzas are a great way to help people, make people smile. They keep them filled. They, you know, they, it can bring a lot of happiness and joy, and being able to help people as you grow up and now being able to put that in a sense. So, it seems to me like you are fulfilling that childhood dream, the overarching message of I want to help people.
Yeah.
So Danielle, what do your dreams for the future look like?
Oh my goodness. So obviously, as we spoke about earlier, getting that TED Talk behind me, I'm super excited about it, and I'll be even more excited when it's behind me. But my dream for the future is really to inspire other people to go after what it is they really want and to stand as somebody who is evidence that if you do that with your whole heart, that you can succeed. And really to think about making sure that what you're striving for is actually what you want. Because I meet a lot of creative, strong, independent-minded people who get down the road going after something that they don't really want. And I've certainly been there. And we're powerful enough to make it happen. But when you go after the thing that's actually what you really, really want, what is being called from within you, what you dream about, yes, it's going to be work, but you're going to be working from inspiration rather than motivation. And it's so much more fun.
Well, from personal experience, I couldn't agree more. Danielle, is there any last thoughts you'd like to share before we plug your websites and how people can connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, no matter where you are in your life today, think about the fact that today is the day that you create your tomorrow. And start doing something now that you're going to thank yourself for later. Because it's so easy to think that we have to have all our ducks in a row and all our pieces together before we get started. But really, the key is to just start.
Yeah. You know, when I started the show, I didn't really know how to do a podcast. I knew how to edit audio. I knew all the technical website stuff. But, you know, I had no real experience in doing any kind of broadcasting background or anything like that. And it's just starting. And 2 weeks after I decided I was going to start, I had a show. And here I am a year later.
I know. Look at you now. This is awesome.
Danielle, I would love for you to plug your website and how people can connect with you.
Yeah, you guys can find me at purseprocess.com. And I highly encourage you to put in a little information about yourself and download my Purse Process personality profiles. Not so much because I want you to read the profiles and get something out of them, but because I want you to look at that and be inspired to come up with your own unique idea.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a lot of P's. In the what was it? It was
Purse process personality profile. Yeah, yes. I think it's a tongue twister.
Well, I will have that both of those links in the show notes for people to find at howtodream.co so they can connect with you.
Thank you, Joe.
You're very welcome. And I really appreciate you coming on the show today, and I'd love to have you on again in about a year to catch up and see how you've been.
That would be awesome. I would love to share more secrets then.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, thank you very much again for coming on the show.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.